Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we follow up on our video from yesterday looking at net revenue and the challenges involved. Again, we're joined by Vasilis, founder and CEO of Jio Analytics, to give his perspective and insights. We ask what his opinion is on the adoption of net revenue across the hotel industry. We discuss the complexities faced when trying to embrace net revenue. We touch on the evolution of the commercial role, where the financial team fit in, and the new role of Chief Intelligence Officer. And finally, we ask, are we actually reaching a tipping point? Really hope you enjoy the conversation.
One area that did come out of COVID that hit everybody really hard was obviously the recognition about profitability and the need to start thinking more in terms of net revenue. So I'd like to just pivot a little bit away from the total revenue to the points that came out when we had the panel discussion about net revenue. I guess in much the same way that we spoke about the challenges of total revenue and the adoption of that, I'll throw the same general question to you, which is, what do you think, or what do you see as the current state of adoption of net revenue analysis in hotels? And maybe there might be a broad answer, but maybe you might also have some insights into, are there specific types of properties or size of properties or groups that maybe have lent into this a little bit more than others? But what's your general take on the adoption of net revenue?
I think it's still very, very low, generally speaking. I think it's very low because there's a lot of complexity involved with, let's say, surfacing the data and the analytics. Certainly, in terms of type of hotels, if you are a hotel group or if you're a larger hotel that has a more diverse distribution mix and business mix, you are more inclined to start looking at that data because that's where the biggest opportunities are. You know, if you're a hotel on the beach that has 50 rooms and you get 90% of your business from booking.com, you know, I mean, surely you can do a few things.
Yeah, you work a few numbers. And
Fine. But, you know, if you're a larger hotel, typically you have more levers to pull, right? So it's low, but it's changing. We're working on the second iteration of net revenue. We have the first one, which was okay a few years back. Today is we can certainly improve. So we're taking it to the next level. All our customers are pushing us to go to the next level. They really want to embrace that. We don't have one single customer to, maybe some small hotels, but the majority of the customers, they are pushing us to go further in net revenue.
Interesting. Are you seeing more push there in net revenue than the total revenue piece?
Yes.
If I was to draw a comparison. Right, okay. This is the hot one then.
Yeah, this is quite hot for the moment because I think financial controllers are looking at conversion, and conversion has been kind of difficult after COVID. Even, you know, with inflation and all the costs went up. And I think this year is going to be also very difficult because we don't have double-digit growth in revenue everywhere. So everybody's definitely focused on profit conversion. And I do believe that acquisition cost is the second biggest cost center after payroll.
Right.
So payroll and acquisition costs, really big ones. Obviously, there comes the pressure to do better.
That makes a lot of sense.
But it's driven by... how do you say, necessity?
I
always do this comparison with airlines. Airlines were the first ones to implement revenue management because that was the difference between we are bankrupt and we have a business.
Right?
So
it was necessary.
Now our profitability under pressure is necessary. Let's maybe take a look at it.
That makes sense. And I just want to pick up on the point you made a moment ago about the complexities and how even you guys are now working on your second iteration. Can you give a... what are those complexities? What are some of the challenges that people face? If they were to say to you, right, I want to embrace this net revenue, I want to get on that train, I want to go on that journey, what are the complexities they're going to face to get there?
Yeah. I try not to be too nerdy, but if you ask me about net revenue, my tendency is to go down, Mariana's Trench, so to speak. Well, first of all, is quality of data is very important when you're dealing with net revenue. So the way that you've set up your hotel in your different systems will have a big influence in how good the output will be, as in all things, but you know, garbage in, garbage out. But you know, we see hotels whereby, you know, the CRS is not downloading the correct codes in the PMS, and then because the numbers don't make sense, and it's the, you know, and like if you don't know what your channels is, you know, obviously, like you can't go to net revenue.
Yeah.
So there's some challenges around that part. So let's assume that you've overcome that challenge. You have pristine data.
Nice. So,
pristine data. It looks spectacular. That's fantastic. Then all these acquisition costs, they are sitting, they're spread out different systems. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them you get an invoice at the end of the month. Some of them are your franchise fees. Mm-hmm. Some of them are sitting in your Metasearch tool. Some of them are with your digital agency. Mm-hmm. Some of them you need to search through with invoices to find out how much your GDS connectivity is. Mm-hmm. So that's the second part, is to say, to sit down and say, wait a minute, let me list all these costs and let me find where all these costs are sitting, right? And then, you know, how can we actually... so that's the second one, where they are, make a list, an inventory. And then the third one is how we're going to make sure that we're going to allocate all of that in a way that it makes sense. Because you can't say, I'm going to do it on high level. Like, great, fantastic. Okay, high level is all good, but ain't going to get you really, really far. It's like, you're going to look at your net revenue contribution is 80%. Okay, great. And now what? What do I do with this now? Yeah. You know, how can I take decisions? No, the beauty is when you are very, very granular in your approach, when you can say, haha, corporates, these sort of corporates contribute 20 euros more than these corporates on the bottom line because they book in this way and they don't book in this way. Or, you know, all these sort of combination across your segments, channels, and what have you. That is where you can make a result. So you're faced with three layers of challenges. And the same challenges that others have. We have the same challenges. So we're in this together with them, right? Yeah, so absolutely. We also have like, okay, do you have pristine data? No. Okay, how can we help you to go towards as close as possible as pristine? Okay, where is all your data? Oh, in all these different systems. Okay, we need to go about and connect all these different systems, because if we don't have the connectivity, you know, we're not going there very, very far. And then the third one, how do we build an engine that accounts for all of this and that we can sort of put it all together? So it's truly we are together on this. That's the complexities and the challenges.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think what it does, it leads into something that Amrita spoke about, which is, you know, back to our previous question where we were on total revenue management, where we were looking about half of the problem is departments look after their own business areas. And one of the things she obviously spoke about was we've heard people talk about it, as a lot of people do seem to talk about a lot of things, but there has been some movement towards this central commercial role where starting to bring together, if not physically, but at least from a data point of view and a mindset and a commercial standpoint, you know, sales, marketing, distribution, revenue. Are you... again, without there being a repetitive answer, a little bit, but it's getting there. Are you seeing that the will to do that or the recognition to do something like that and have it as a more cohesive commercial function is kind of underway?
It's getting there. It's getting there.
You were desperate not to repeat the same answer.
Yeah, exactly. I'll repeat it. No, definitely. It's we're seeing more and more commercial roles. I mean, you know, as a company, you always say, hey, who's your buying persona if you're a company, right?
Yeah.
And for us, our persona is the commercial people. Our product resonates greatly with commercial people. So it used to be that it was revenue management, but it's not anymore. And I wouldn't say it's getting there, but it's people have realized that this is a necessity. So definitely investing in that commercial role. And there's even companies that go further. We have one of our customers, they have a chief of intelligence person
Oh, really?
in their
Wow,
chain.
okay.
It's
That
a
is
chain of
different, yeah.
25 hotels. And the only thing she is busy with is ensuring that everybody in the organization is empowered with the data to take their decisions. So that goes beyond even the commercial perspective.
Yeah, very
now,
much so.
Do we have millions of these people? We don't. But we're doing what we need to do on the commercial side, but we're actually going a little bit a step further. So that's good.
A chief intelligence officer. Wow.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
We should get her on the podcast.
Yeah,
she's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be very interesting to talk about that. But and actually, I'm going to use that to bridge to my next question, because it was something that Jens actually brought up, which was he was talking about, because Amrita was talking about obviously bringing the sales and the commercial and the revenue and all of that together into the commercial function. And then Jens was saying, yeah, but in addition, we've got to layer in finance, because ultimately,
yes.
You know, they're the ones that know how everything breaks down. They're the ones that are seeing all the invoices. They're the ones that are allocating where these costs are going. So I guess picking up on your point about someone responsible for intelligence, you know, that's almost that thread that runs through each of the departments, isn't it? Where does finance sit in this equation?
Yeah. I think, again, you know, my, let's say, North Star is the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from the first question that you had. So we as a company, we used to be a commercial platform. Now we are more than a commercial platform. We have started connecting finance systems as well.
Okay.
And the way that we actually think about it is to say, how do we organize that finance, you know, how do we organize that total spend around the customer, but how do we organize these costs also around the customer? Essentially, how do we rebuild the P&L around the customer as opposed to build it versus the hotel or versus the inventory? So So can we look at profitability and seeing it from a different lens, let's say, and will that give us hints in how we should influence this commercial performance?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we're not looking to make more revenue. More revenue is great, but more profit is great. So is even greater, sorry.
Absolutely.
So what the you know, customer is the red line, and then you need to think, how do I get from inventory from room revenue management to total revenue, from inventory to customer centric, and from revenue to profit.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that is the mind shift that we need to take, and you know, that's why as a company we said we need to build finance in there, because otherwise we can't. There's a missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but
that's how we think about finance.
But the complexity, just about, you spoke about complexities before about pulling it and where everything is. When you start to look at the complexities of, you know, even if you were just thinking, okay, how do we allocate payroll to, you know, to get that down to a guest level, that must be a challenge you've taken on.
Yeah, we're a little bit crazy. Yeah. No, it is, you know, it is challenging. It is challenging. And of course, you don't want to sort of try to boil the ocean, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do it in a way that it's manageable.
Yeah.
So you need to start from there and start from the high level and go from there. But essentially, you know, our customers are customers that have 20, 30, 40, 50 hotels
mm-hmm.
each, right? They have perhaps a global sales force. They're investing a lot in acquisition. And they want to know, what's the return of, you know, me signing corporate accounts as opposed to what I'm going to get from the OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So inevitably, when you have these questions and, you know, you want to take these investment decisions that will generate significant net revenue, where a difference is in the thousands of euros. Or we had a company even where You know, when they started shifting their strategy for 15 hotels, they were looking at 1 million profit increase by changing a mindset.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to say we were there to support that. That's great. But they did the mindset.
This comes back to your original point, isn't it? You need a shift of focus.
Exactly.
And then what do we need to make that shift? There has to be leadership towards that direction.
There has to be leadership. So it is complex, but if you want to take these decisions at that level, there's no other way than taking the hard route and piecing these dots together. Mm. You need to do it. Someone's got to do it. Yeah, and you know, to add to this, I read an article lately circulated around the media that was doing a point on F&B profitability in hotels. F&B profitability in hotels is under pressure now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of hotels have restaurants that don't contribute anything to the bottom line. They are there because they need to be there.
Yep.
Right? And they serve breakfast and then they do a lunch where there's five people sitting, eating like a meatball or something. And they are a cost center as opposed to a revenue center. And mm-hmm. that article was saying, you know, profitability in F&B doesn't work. And I think all the companies that now need to find profitability everywhere, you have a few, you don't have too many choices.
Mm-hmm.
Close it down, rent it out to someone else, or start creating somewhere something from a restaurant that makes sense, or transform your space into something else that is
could be revenue
that is producing revenue and is adding to profit as opposed to eat the profit that you're doing in terms of rooms. And you know, if you do that, then you need to start looking at some data and to see how you're performing at the end of the day.
Very good. I think that's a positive note to lead it on.
I'm biased because I'm positive, Trevor.
You've always been positive, which is why we like having you on these calls. So, as ever, a pleasure to talk with you and really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Vasilis for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.